Hello and welcome to Sunday Messages with Fairmount Friends Church. We're so glad that you are joining us. You can find out more on www.fairmountfriendschurch.org. Here's Pastor Brock Meyer.
Neat, I got to see Robbie walk in this morning and see Morris and Robbie worshiping together. It's always fun. A father and a son worshiping together is really, really neat. Gary Wade, my cousin, is back here representing those heralds. We've got some good representation here. Miss Mary, yeah, see him? Courtney, see? Gary, I'm still waiting for you to like put your finger back on when you took it off at Thanksgiving years and years ago. Gary's a magician. He did this trick where he shoved a quarter through a table. It's amazing. I show that one to my kids now. But the giveaway is whenever the quarter lands on the floor and it's kind of rattling around and, you know, it's like behind you and it just doesn't work as well. But, man, those were fun times. Just remember as a kid, just, man, when's Gary getting here? Show us some cool stuff. And then I'm grateful for men that remind me to be a man. I ripped part of my fingernail off this morning, and there's a group of guys standing back here. Patrick is one. Who else? I think Dale might have been back there. Joe, Psalms. I said, guys, I got to run home real quick and grab a nail file to file my nail. And Joe goes, you just bite it off. Come on, man. I'm like, oh, if there's any morning that you want to like do that, it's this morning. You would just want to bite it off and act like a man. And then I get a text from Ben right before I walk up here. He's like, I can help you get a manicure if you need one. And so I just appreciate the men in my life that can encourage me and challenge me and make fun of me all at the same time. That's a good, healthy relationship. But we do want to focus on dads this morning as it is Father's Day. But all people are going to be able to pull from this message. But specifically, we want to speak to men this morning. My dad was a UPS man as I was growing up, and there's a couple different terminology that I was able to learn across the way that I want to share with you this morning on how men need to deliver. So I want to call this message Daddy Delivery. And when dads can show up and when dads deliver, the family is so much better. And when dads fail to deliver, the family suffers. When dads can't show up and do what they say they're going to do, and to consistently deliver day in and day out, the family suffers. But when the dad can show up and be faithful at his post, everyone can win. Three things that we want to focus on today is special delivery, the same day delivery, and then there's next day air. There's three different kinds of delivery. First one we're going to focus on is special delivery. What made you a dad in the first place was there was a special delivery that came along the way. One of the movies that we like in our family is Storks. And Storks is this movie where the birds fly in and they have this special delivery in the form of a baby. And you're so pumped and you're so excited and this baby comes in. There's a song that our family loves to play, Holding Out, by the Lumineers, that's on this movie. And we will play, we'll say, hey, Alexa, play Holding Out by Lumineers. And it's kind of like this slow tempo, and it starts to turn to driving, and then it's dancing, and our whole family is up, and we're dancing, and we're getting into it. And kind of like a morning routine before the bus comes is Holding Out, Lumineers, we're all in this song from the movie Storks, and it just does something for us. When that special delivery came into your life, life changed. This morning, Judah came up to me, gave me a big old hug, and said, Happy Father's Day. And I said, Judah, you're the one. You're the first one out of the gate that made me a father. Thank you for making me a dad. Something happened in us fathers when we got that first baby. It was a big deal. It was an absolute big deal. That special delivery comes, and now life is different. There was a man in the Bible that God wanted to give a special delivery to. Excuse me. God wanted to make Abram a father. And in Genesis chapter 17, we see that God is going to do something inside of Abraham. So let's check out this conversation God the Father had with his soon-to-be father, Abraham. In Genesis chapter 17 and verse 1, we've got it here for you on the screen. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, "I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless. I will confirm my covenant between me and you and will greatly increase your numbers." Abram fell face down, and God said to him, real quick, lying face down before the Lord is a good posture. It's a biblical posture. It's a sign of complete surrender that maybe God is up to something big and he's putting a pretty big call on you and your response is just to fall down before him. This is a biblical move. If you see people laying before the Lord, it's a good move. Verse 4, "As for me, this is my covenant with you. You will be the father of many nations. No longer will you be called Abram. Your name will be Abraham. For I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you very fruitful." Andrew, I don't know what you're getting paid, but you probably should have a raise. Okay. Verse 6, "I will make you fruitful. I will make you make nations of you, and kings will come from you. I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants, after you for generations to come, to be your God and the God of your descendants after you, the whole land of Canaan, where you are now an alien. I will give you as an everlasting possession to you and your descendants after you, and I will be their God." Then God said to Abraham, "As for you, you must keep my covenant, you and your descendants after you, for generations to come." Excuse me, "This is my covenant with you and your descendants after you. The covenant you are to keep." Drum roll, please. Oh my gosh. "Every male among you shall be circumcised." Dun, dun, dun. If you're a child that needs to be dismissed to your class, now's a good time to go to your class. Let's break down this covenant real quick, okay? God says, "I've got a special delivery. I want to turn you into a father. You've gone 99 years without being a dad, but there's a promise that you're going to father many, but also nations." So here's the covenant that God begins to have. And he says, okay, God, you're going to give me a son. Abraham's talking. You're going to give me a son. But you want to circumcise me first. You want to cut the very tool that is going to be used in order for me to have a son. What the heck is that? Abraham and God, I can only imagine how this conversation is playing out, at least how it would play out in my mind. God says, "You're going to be amazing. There's going to be so many sons. And so here's what I need, is I need this to happen. And we're going to circumcise you. It's going to be amazing, Abraham. Just trust me. It's going to be awesome. And there's going to be many sons." Okay, God, you are crazy. And God says, "So Abraham, so what's the problem? Do you have a problem here?" He goes, yeah, I got a couple problems. Number one, just reasoning. Let's just try to make some sense of this thing, God. Reasoning is you want to take a knife to the very vehicle that I need to utilize to travel to become the father of many nations. It just doesn't make sense. God doesn't seem to answer him. Anything else? Yeah, one other thing. That's going to hurt, God, a lot. This whole thing is going to hurt. And he's 99 years old. He's not a newborn baby. He's not like Jewish tradition as you wait 8 days. At 8 days, you come in and you take your son and they get circumcised. at 99 years old, almost 10 decades in, God says, hey, I got this really cool idea. You down for it? So I'm kind of thinking, I was thinking of some of our elders in our men's group. And I don't know why God led me to think of you, Don, but he did. So weird, man. But I was just playing this out. Like, how would Don Wright respond to this if God came to him and he says, Don, you're going to start having a lot of babies. It's going to be great, but I need you to do something first. And you're like, wait, what? Are you kidding me? This doesn't make sense, and this is going to hurt. And God says, yeah, there's some things that I'm calling you to do that just don't make sense to everybody. And there's some things that I'm calling and asking of you that they're just going to hurt. But what I'm asking of you is just to trust me that I'm good. And will you go on this journey with me, because you're playing kind of small right now, Abraham, and you're hoping for a son when I want to give you a nation. And where in your life are you playing a little bit small to where you're like, God, that's uncomfortable. That's going to hurt. That's going to be tough. I don't want to go there. I don't want to do that. I don't want to have to move or to switch jobs or to take or to launch out or to do whatever. I'm super comfortable where I am. And I know that you're calling me for more, but I would much rather say no to you and live in comfort than to say yes to you and get uncomfortable and roll the dice not knowing if this thing's going to work. It's a step of faith that I don't really know that I'm down for. And so many times, if we start to go into negotiations with God, this special delivery can get aborted in the womb before it ever comes to pass. Because we want to negotiate rather than to trust. Isn't it fascinating that God's saying, hey, here's the deal, and I really need you to trust me on this one. It doesn't make sense, and it's going to hurt. Let's go. Let's read the rest of the scripture and see how it plays out. Verse 11, you are to undergo circumcision, and it will be the sign of the covenant between me and you. For the generations to come, every male among you who is 8 days old must be circumcised, including those born in your household or bought with money from a foreigner, those who are not even of your offspring. Whether born in your house or bought with your money, they must be circumcised. My covenant in your flesh is to be an everlasting covenant. An uncircumcised male who has not been circumcised in the flesh will be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant. Or can I just play this out in the lifestyle of faith? Those that are your sons and your daughters, in this context, specifically sons, but those that are of your household that will not step out and trust me in faith and make some faith moves, they're just not going to be a part of the deal anymore. Whew. They're going to be cut off from the family. I need you to follow in line with this thing, Abraham. And if you don't, or your sons don't, there's going to be some casualties of the lack of covenant. Verse 15. God also said to Abraham, as for Sarai, your wife, you are no longer to call her Sarai. Her name will be Sarah or Sarah. I will bless her and will surely give you a son by her. I will bless her so that she will be the mother of nations. Kings of peoples will come from her. Abraham fell face down again. His response is worship or surrender or something, but he physically has a posture of a response before the Lord. He doesn't sit before the Lord unmoved. He physically responds. He also then laughs. He says to himself, will a son be born to a man 100 years old? Will Sarah bear a child at the age of 90? And Abraham said to God, if only Ishmael might live under your blessing. What's funny about this is, can you do it with Ishmael? Can you do it with somebody else? How about just skip my generation and let the young bucks do it? Can you do it with somebody else? I've always done it this way. And we've always done our family this way. We've always done our church this way. I'm not down for this new idea, God. I'm not down for taking a step of faith. Thanks, but no thanks. Do it somewhere else. Cool. You want to set up a cool covenant and make them great nations? Do it somewhere else. Do it at another church. Do it with a different generation, just not in mine. Can you do it with somebody else? Verse 19, then God said, yes, but your wife Sarah will bear you a son, and you will call him Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him as an everlasting covenant for his descendants after him. And as for Ishmael, I have heard you. I will bless him. I will make him fruitful and will greatly increase his numbers. He will be the father of 12 rulers, and I will make him into a great nation. But my covenant I will establish with Isaac, whom Sarah will bear to you by this time next year. When he had finished speaking with Abraham, God went up from him. Point number two is not just is there a special delivery, but for fathers, there needs to be same-day delivery. What makes the family special is whenever the father can deliver day after day, the same day. When you say that you're going to do something, you actually do it. And when you say that you're going to do something that day, you actually do it. I don't know if this ever happened in your life, but I know that there's many stories out there where perhaps dad said, hey, after work, we're coming home and we're playing catch. And Junior sat by the window with his baseball glove, and he was pumped, and he was amped, and he waited and waited and waited for a dad that did not show up that day. Hey, next weekend, son, we're going fishing. We're going fishing, and he is just waiting, and he's sitting on his tackle box in the driveway, cannot wait for the best day ever for dad to deliver that day. And he doesn't show that day. And there's just this constant kind of delay to postpone, to push back later. And if it's not same day delivery, then when will it be delivered? And what happens, the Bible says this in Proverbs, that hope deferred makes the heart sick. And you were so hopeful and you wanted this from father, or you wanted to be that father, you wanted that from your dad, maybe you even wanted that from Father God, and there was so much hope and expectation, and yet it didn't come to pass. And the heart starts to get sick. The heart starts to turn, maybe even gets embittered and frustrated, and unforgiveness can kind of harbor and sit down inside. What's amazing, though, what the Bible says. It says that Moses obeyed God the same day and was circumcised. Same day obedience. If God called you to it, I'm believing it. He said it, I'll do it. That settles it. I'm in today. Instant obedience. I'm going to be all in. Which leads here to our next part. Verse 23. On that very day, Abraham took his son Ishmael and all of those born in the household or bought with his money, every male in his household, and he circumcised them as God told him. Abraham was 99 years old when he was circumcised, and his son Ishmael was 13 years old. No better way to start the teenage years than to hang out with dad for the afternoon and do something incredibly awkward like this. Abraham and his son Ishmael were both circumcised on the same day delivery. And every male in Abraham's house, including those born in his household or bought from a foreigner, was circumcised with him. There was something radical about this man's faith where it rallied the men around him that says, we're in it with you. We're going. If God has called you to it, we're going to be in it with you. If God is saying that this is what the man has said and he's calling you and this is where you're leading and directing us, okay, we're in. And there's the rally around men to do something that doesn't make sense and that's going to hurt a lot. And they say, I'm in. I'm in. Men, I want to encourage you like this. You might be making some calls in your family, and the rest of the family is looking back like, Dad, you are crazy. You've lost your mind. You don't even make sense. What are you talking about? I know, guys, and it might be uncomfortable, but here is where I feel like God is calling us to go, and we've got to do it on the day that He's called us to. Let's not push it off. Let's not, we'll get around to it. Let's not do it tomorrow. Let's not get to it next decade. Let's get to it today. And Abraham's radical obedience shifted a nation, and then he became the father of nations. I'm just wanting to ask, perhaps this is for everybody, specifically men, what are some things that you need to do that maybe they don't even make sense? And you know what? It might even sting a little. It might squeeze you financially. It might hurt time frame. There's going to be something. Maybe it's humility, and you got to hit the deck and ask for forgiveness. Maybe there's some things that you've got to make some big time pivots and shifts. Maybe there's some addictions that you just love, and they're comfortable, and they're awesome, and they keep you cozy and fuzzy and warm, but you know they're destroying the family, that you got to say, I got to pivot. I got to shift. And you know what? I got to start doing some things different today. Today is the day of obedience. Today is the day of shift. And I just can't help but believe the same way that Abraham did, the family comes rallying around this man. And they come and they say, we're with you. We're in it with you. Let's go. We're buying in. And it may not happen immediately. They may say, Dad's getting crazy. Dad's a weirdo. Grandpa, what are you doing? Grandpa, why are you still wearing crew socks up to your knees with sandals on? You don't do that. That doesn't make sense. But Grandpa, there's something different about this man. He's marked by something else. And when the Holy Spirit comes upon a man the same way He did on King Saul, it just turned him into another man. And so we're just asking for a heavy dose of the Holy Spirit to come upon fathers again, to lead like they ought to lead. On mothers again, to lead. Mamas, these are the same decisions that you need to make. If God is calling you to something, instant obedience is the only obedience. And to say, God, I'm in and I'm going. And just believe in God that the family's going to rally around. God, if I trust you and I take a step of faith, will you be good enough and kind enough to rally the hearts in my home that we can go after this thing together? Where am I? Next point. We talked about number three, next day heir. But it ain't just next day heir in the form of that air travel, that package is delivered by a UPS airplane or Amazon. Let me tell you this, it's next day heir, E-R-R, if we put it off. And if we see here, point number three is when you hear God, you need to act immediately. Half obedience is no obedience at all. Recently, was talking to one of my kids about, you need to take out the trash. Any fathers ever had this conversation? This is the biggest frustrating conversation that you're ever going to have in your home. Take out the trash. So here's what one of our children likes to do. Collect the trash, leave half of it, collect some more. Some of it falls out. Oh, bummer, some of it fell out. All right, go take this trash and then puts it all in the trash bags in the kitchen and leaves it in the kitchen. We have blue trash cans outside that are pulled out to the street. The church, as we started having more kids, they said, you probably need to have another trash can for more trash. That was a Dick Hensley move. Thank you, Dick, for that. Somewhere over the course of all of our town cleanups, there's been an extra trash can set in our driveway. We now have three of these. You know how many we fill up each week? Three of these. But many times they hang out in our kitchen for a while, and maybe that's why our animals just like hanging around in the kitchen. I don't know what's going on here, but is that really obedience? You gathered trash, kinda, and then left it. What are you doing in your life? And it's easy to pick on a kid, but what if you're 50 or you're 70 and God's called you to do something and you kind of half did it? Yeah, you kind of played around with it, but not full obedience. You didn't button it up. You didn't strap it down. You didn't take it outside. You didn't wheel it to the street. You didn't do completion. And so to my kids, I would say, you didn't obey. Half obedience isn't true full obedience. Guys, you don't want to do like half circumcision. I don't think you want to do that. I want nothing to, no part of that. I got to be all in on something. And if God's saying, I'm going to make a covenant, I'm going to do something amazing, I'm going to do something great, but you've got to buy in 100%. The response has got to be yes. You just got to put a yes in our heart and not kind of half-heartedly do this thing, but to go all in. Just recently, I felt like we were all outside with the kids, and we've got this little kind of prop-up pool thing in our backyard, and we had just put fresh water from the garden hose in there. I mean, it's just like melted ice is all it is. And the kids are in there, and they are diving in and swimming. Their lips are purple and having the best time of their life. And you know what they're going to say? Dad, come get in! I'm trying to find every other task that I possibly can do that I've been putting off for weeks and months. I got to busy myself with something else. I make a fire. I'm cooking burgers. Now I got to make dinner. I'm cooking burgers over the fire. Somebody's got to watch the fire. I mean, guys, this thing could get out of control. We could have a forest fire here. Guys, I got to pay attention to the fire. No, Dad, come get in. It feels awesome. I know you're a liar. Get behind me, Satan. The Lord rebuke you. I'm trying to, like, do spiritual warfare over my kids, and they're saying, Dad, get in. And I hear the voice of the Lord. I'm not audibly, but I just feel it, you know, just as plain as day. And not that he was mocking me, but kinda. He's kind of like Joe Psalms and Ben Mann, just like, your fingernails okay, bro? Like, yo, you all right? And he says this. He goes, you being a fully alive and wild man, sort of a father, you're willing to take all of that and sacrifice it on the altar of cold water. Woo! Man, did he make me feel like awesome and like this big all at the same time. And I'm like, oh my gosh. And he's like, come on, are you serious? Like, there is an adventure to live. Your kids have got it figured out. You teach a message, they live the message. Why don't you step into what you're talking about? Stop talking about it, start being about it. So go and dive into this pool. And I'm like, oh my gosh. And I want to delay obedience. I want to delay obedience. And I just feel it. Now. And I pivot the little griddle thing off of the fire. I drop the utensils and I take off running. And we have our trampoline right in front of our pool. I jump up on our trampoline. They're like, Dad! And I jump on the trampoline. I come in, grab my knees, and we just have this awesome time. I mean, I couldn't hardly breathe for a little bit, but it was amazing. And we're in there full clothes, the whole deal, and just splashing and having a good time. And God's saying, come on, this is a picture of all of life with me. I'm asking you, come on, come on. Do you think that I'm the kind of dad that's going to invite you into an adventure that's going to, like, destroy your life? It's going to be unbelievable. It's going to be amazing. It's going to bring a blessing to all of those around you. Come on, can you just take off running, grab your knees, and let's make the biggest splash with your life as possible. Let's go. But are you willing to say, the water's cold? I don't want to. I don't want to, like, really go all in. It's just chilly. And God's saying, Brock, there's something so much deeper in you as a man. I really want to, like, develop some deeper waters, and I can't if you're afraid of cold water in a pool. Come on, I want rivers of living water to flow from within you, and not if you're afraid to even tip your toe into the waters. I mean, he gave me a father talk like he just took me to the woodshed. Come on, man. There is more in store. There's an amazing life on the other side of obedience. It doesn't look like anybody's taking notes, but if you'd like to, there's an amazing life. Thanks, Alyssa. The one person. She gets taught this all the time. But there's an amazing life waiting for you on the other side of obedience. It's just true. It's just true. The act of doing what you say you will do, what you ought to do, what you know you should do, and do it every time is like the superpower of dads to become superheroes. You know, there's an old saying that says, never put off till tomorrow what could be done today. Mark Twain had a great saying. He said, never put off till tomorrow what could be put off till the day after tomorrow. But why do I not want to have same-day delivery? Because I'll tell you, there's a next-day air that you're going to get into. And the next day air could hijack so much of what God is wanting to do in your family. Author Chad House, I really enjoy. He just speaks a lot to men. He says this. Let's say in the make-believe world of comic books, there are 1,000 superheroes. Well, there are probably 1,000 men who do what they say they should do, say they're going to do, and so on, every time. Maybe not even that much, maybe less. It's the rare of a quality. And the men who do this are great. They may not be well known or famous, but they are great. They do great things. They're reliable, dependable. They serve a purpose. They improve daily. And those tiny little actions compound over time. Being better every day acts like compound interest, in that you may not see gains right away, but there comes a point where those gains become astronomical. Forget about being a real man. Be a great one. That option is open to all of us. I just want to say this. Obey when it doesn't make sense. Obey especially when it doesn't make sense. God, this thing is so crazy. This thing is so wild. It's bonkers. In those times, especially lean in, because the master craft storyteller is up to something really cool, and you don't want to miss that story. You got to go all in. Just recently this happened. An Indianapolis Colts player, Kari Willis, 26 years old, retires from the NFL after only 3 years. Retires because he feels like God is calling him into ministry to become a pastor. He just finished his rookie contract, and he's coming into getting another contract. He's a starting safety for the Indianapolis Colts, potentially looking at $80 million. And he says, God, are you sure? This thing don't make sense. This is going to hurt. What if I told you that your decision that you're going to be on the line is worth $1 million? For him, it's being a millionaire 80 times over. And he says, no thanks. There's something much richer that I'm being called to. God's got a calling on my life, and he's pivoting and calling me and shifting me into something else. And the response is, today, I retire. It's over. I'm out. I got to have same-day delivery on this obedience. I can't have next-day air. I can't put it off until the end of this contract and then take all my millions. It would just make sense, God. I would take all these millions. Then look at all the mission work we could do, and we would rationalize, and we would figure out, and we would negotiate with God. And he goes, God, you must have it all figured out. 80, gone. I'm in. I'm going to become a Quaker pastor. Quaker pastors are loaded. I'm just going to do what you've called me to do. And he goes all in, abrupt retirement, instant obedience. He says this. Willis said, I have elected to officially retire from the NFL as I endeavor to devote the remainder of my life to the further advancement of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Man, it takes some radical moves to set your life apart. You gotta do something different. You gotta make some radical moves. I know this to be true in every superhero. It seems like there's always a particular weakness, whether it's Superman and Kryptonite or Venom and high pitch velocity squeals, Green Lantern, it's the color yellow. There's always something that can squeeze a man to where he has a weak move. But I'll tell you this, I think that there's three kryptonite that men have to power through. Number one is death by delay. Number two, death by distraction. And number three, death by disobedience. Death by delay, death by distraction, and death by disobedience. You know, I'll tell you, there's many things that can wipe out a man and turn that man of steel into just silly putty. But it's delay. It's all the little distractions. It might not be something major, men, that's going to come in and wipe you out. It may not be a major sin. It may not be murder, adultery. It may not be something absolutely massive, but there'll be 100 little distractions along the way that'll steal your gaze. And I'm supposed to be running and leading, and yet I'm just distracted. And instead of doing what God's called me to do, I'll do it tomorrow. Do it the day after tomorrow. And what it's doing is not only does it produce death in yourself, but in those around you and in your family. And we don't want to have death by disobedience. God's calling us into it. And so in the same way, man, I would just say, let's lead today. There's been special deliveries in your life. Let's act on them. Let's have same-day delivery, not next-day air. Let's become the men that God truly has called us to be. Would y'all stand with me, church family? We close this morning. Jesus, we thank you that you're the good, good Father. We thank you that you're the one that we get to worship and celebrate. We thank you that you're the Father that we get to obey. And whether we liked our Father or not, we do have a good Father in you. And so, God, we just say yes to you, even if it doesn't make sense, even if it hurts, even if you're calling us out of our comfort zone. God, whatever you're calling us to, give us a better story. Give us better family. Give us a better legacy. Come on, Jesus. Let the men lead. Lord, I pray that this would be a house of strong leadership in our fathers and the husbands and the men. God, raise them up. Let this be a house where men know who they are, know what they're called to. God, we just pray that you do a supernatural work in us today. We honor you as we celebrate all of our fathers today. We thank you for being the best dad ever. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
So we're so glad that you were with us today. You can subscribe on iTunes or Spotify or your preferred podcasting app. Be sure to rate us so other people can know about the podcast.